Access number 30644, Mr. Richard Sigorski, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about your sell, you know, based on the estate. Now, you said about 9 to 12 hours. Now, you said you got entangled in fighting with the Ukrainians.
Yes.
Rather than the Germans.
Yes.
Now,
because
tell me.
They were attacking us. The estate on which I was, the village on which I was 100% Roman Catholic, surrounded by Greco-Catholic villages, Ukrainian villages. And tobacco planting instructor in that village was friend of mine, a Pole, and we found him in the wheat with don't remember how many, but tens of knife wounds, completely killed.
Now, was he attacked because he was a member of the resistance?
No,
or was
he was attacked because he was a Pole.
Now, so did your resistance cell take action back in reprisal?
We took the action back, yes.
So what would you
discovered,
do?
We discovered, it took us about a week to we knew from which, we were pretty certain from which village people were who done that. So we caught somebody, youngster from that village, and persuaded to tell us. Persuasion wasn't very pleasant.
How did you do it? Or you might not want to talk about it, but
I'd rather not talk about it. Anyway, the end result was there was a riverbed, flat approach on one side, very, very steep on the other. So we came at night, thrown the bottles with petrol on the roof and shot everybody who came from that car. From that cottage.
Now, did that cause a further escalation? Because that's how these things work.
No, that was continuous.
It didn't get any worse than after that. They didn't attack you more.
No. That was look. One day they killed us. Next day we killed them. Next day they killed us.
So it didn't stop it, but it didn't make it any worse.
Stop it. Didn't make any worse or any better. Yeah.
So did you actually have any time at all for attacking the Germans, which I entirely understand?
At that time, no. No. Not in our part of Poland.
So the Germans had been successful, in essence, in deflecting attacks from them?
Absolutely. There was not a lot of... our problem were save ourselves from... Remember that... Ukrainians were very pro-German. Not only, they organized SS Halychyna, a division of Ukrainians who were fighting on the German side in Russia. And in end of 43, when Russian army was moving forward, surrounded Tarnopol. The problem was that in Tarnopol there were part of, I think, here I am not sure, but I think the part of SS Göring Division, part of SS Halychyna, and some Russians who were fighting on the German side, Vlasov, part of Vlasov units. Hence, when they were surrounded, they call it small Stalingrad, because all the units who were surrounding in Tarnopol didn't have a chance of survival, so they were fighting for 17 weeks.
Now, That's in 43. Anything happened before that? Because were you still there when Tarnopol was surrounded?
I was. We were kicked out from Tarnopol before it was surrounded by Germans.
Okay.
We were kicked out from Tarnopol to a small village somewhere west of Tarnopol. So we are outside the ring which surrounded Tarnopol. My grandfather died in Tarnopol at that time.
So basically the Soviets had surrounded these various, yes, if you like, renegade units.
Not only, there were quite a number of German units.
Right.
There were a lot of units, German units, but there were a lot of renegade units, yes. Yes, so they didn't have a chance. They couldn't surrender because they would be shot one way or the other.
And that was in 1943?
That's end of, absolute end of 93, beginning 44.
Now, that, just to take it back a little bit,
mm-hmm,
do you remember anything else about the fighting with the Ukrainians that you and, well, you and your cell, resistance cell, engaged in? Any other incidents, or were they, you know, or was that one, the attack on the village, the main one you recall there?
The problem is that there was one second attack on our village. But I wasn't there at the time. I went to see my family in Tarnopol, and I wasn't there.
So this was an attack?
It was the attack on the village, but it was successfully defeated. But I wasn't there, so I can't tell you much about it.
Now, how was your resistance movement armed? In your cell, what weapons did you have?
Very, very, very little at the time. Normally, what we could take of Ukrainians, or old weapons, or we could steal from Germans.
So you haven't got access to, say, your hidden. You've not been able to get back and get your hidden ones.
The hidden ones disappeared before. No.
So it was fairly this and that.
Very ramshackle. Very, 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 very mixed. Very mixed. Very mixed, not hell of a lot.
Now, you were on this village. Tell me, you mentioned tobacco. What were you doing? Because you haven't told me. You were working as the state manager. What was this tobacco thing? You've mentioned it twice now. What were you doing? Giving advice on planting tobacco?
Yes.
Now, what's that about? I mean, is it the right place for tobacco planting?
Oh, yes. Our part of Poland, yes. I remember, look, talking about climate of my part of Poland. I remember plus minus 48 degrees C. How about that? 48 minus and 48 plus during the summer.
Is that all right for tobacco?
Tobacco is extremely you have to put a hell of a lot of work into tobacco.
But to bring it in?
Because Germans didn't have enough tobacco. Or not only. For example, the biggest problem of Germany at the time was, number one, petrol, number two, rubber. Because they didn't have any rubber. So we planted something, a plant which is called, probably it's a Latin name, coxages. It looks like which produces rubber. From that plant you can get rubber. So we had a lot of coxages plantations.
What you would do was advise on planting on these products to try and make,
yes,
up for German shortages.
Between other things, yes. Yes. On the we were planting everything, foods as well, wheat, rye, barley, oats, but sugar beet. We have, in my part of Poland, we have 105 centimeters of the best type of soil you can imagine. Extremely strong.
What's the next thing you remember happening to you?
Next, we are kicked out of Tarnopol. Tarnopol is surrounded.
So you're living on this village?
Yes.
Until then? Now,
yes.
Then Ternopil is surrounded?
Yes.
Now, where do you go to then?
Everybody, we are again under Russians.
Under the Russians?
Well, yes, they surrounded Ternopil, so
what
are.
What happens when the Russians arrive?
What happened? The first thing, practically the first thing which happened, everybody between 18 and 52 instantaneously volunteered to join the army. Remember, Polish army under General Anders already moved out of Russia. The only remnants were General Belling, who was left in stayed there. He was a funny man. He was a Pole, yes, but he was reddish in his politics. He left. He was left in or he stayed in Russia, and he started organizing Polish army from the people like myself, who volunteered.
Now, why did you volunteer?
Because if I could be shot or volunteer, pick your choice. Whatever.
So did you want to fight for the
with Germans? Yes. I didn't have anything against fighting against Germans. So there wasn't any. Most of people went. They were told and went.
So although you volunteered under duress.
Of course, we volunteered because we were told to volunteer.
And this is what, December 1943?
Probably it's already January.
So January 44.
Yeah.
So you volunteered. Now, would it be, from what you've said, would I be right in thinking that although you volunteered under duress to join the Soviets, you'd have been equally happy, not fighting alongside the Germans, but you'd have been equally happy fighting the
Germans. Oh yes, I wouldn't mind. But at that time, look, after what we've been through under German occupation, we knew, for example, by now I knew that my father is in England because he sent us some Red Cross parcel which came. So we knew that he is alive and that he is in UK.
So had your, and what I mean is that had you switched slightly to being rather more.
I switched to that extent that I came to conclusion that the most important enemy which we have are Germans at the time, and the only country which stands in Europe, it's France. It's England.
You had two enemies.
Yes.
Which the most dangerous you identified
yes.
as the Germans
yes.
now.
Yes. Yes.
And your second enemy was the Soviet Union, but they could wait. If you see what I mean.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Now, the other thing is, you said, how much have you actually, what you haven't given us an impression of yet is whether life was actually hard under the German regime. I mean, you've told me about the execution.
Was more civilized. Under Germans, of course. More civilized, yes. Problems.
Did you actually suffer under the Germans yourself?
Myself, I was lucky like hell. I haven't suffered. I couldn't say that I suffered. I had a job. I had friends. I wasn't kicked or beaten. So I couldn't say that I suffered. No, I didn't suffer.
But nevertheless, you decided that the Germans were the greater threat.
Yes, most certainly. At that time.
I understand. It's difficult. We've got two enemies there.
Yeah.
So how did you go? You volunteered. So the volunteering process? I mean, it was just you.
You and you go now. Or we were driven in column to station which was a railway station from which there were already trains to Russia. It was about 50-60 kilometers away. We walked there, was loaded into cattle carriages and went.
And what was that journey like in the cattle trucks?
Well, we were all there. We had not too much, but enough food.
And where were you going?
Train was stopping. We went through to Sumy. Yeah.
Where's that?
That is southeast Ukraine. In Sumy was
now,
quite.
Is this part that was Poland, or is this part that was in the Soviet Union?
That part is far Soviet Union.
That's the Soviet Union.
Now,
and that was January 43.
Yes.
44. Now, what happened when you got there? How many of them were you? I should have asked that earlier.
The transport in which I was 3,000.
Did you know where you were going?
No.
One thing
no, we knew where we were going when we arrived.
You weren't worried that something awful was going to happen
no.
to the whole 3,000?
No. No, we knew one thing. That we are going to join the Polish army under Russian command. And the general commanding of the Polish army at that time was General Berling.
The Polish army, they were at Sumy, were they?
Sumy, yes.
Now, what happened when you got to Sumy? Is that where you did your training?
I decided at that time that most certainly I hate army, I don't want to have anything to do with them, and all my life I wanted to fly.
Now, you haven't mentioned that. Now, when did you decide you like?
Oh, all my life I wanted to fly. All what? My life I wanted to fly.
Why? What gave you that interest?
I don't know. I loved physics, math, and I wanted to fly. All my life. So, I produced one or two small lies and was. Probably it. Tell you. Oh God, I'm wasting your time now. I added myself 4 years. And told in Sumy that I was on the first year, just joined because it's beginning of the war, so on end of the school year, beginning of new school year, I just joined flying school Dęblin, which is our equivalent to Crown Room.
Now that wasn't true.
Of course not. Of course not. The man who was checking, verifying the statements was Colonel Bukoyemski. He was in charge of cavalry division in Volyn in eastern Poland, and due to some reasons was kicked out of that position before the war. What? Why? No comments. I don't know. And whatever I do would be speculation, which is not fair. Anyway, when he asked me my name, I said my name, and he said, from Berezovica? I said, yes. He said, oh, I know your father very well. I was buying horses for cavalry from him. And we talked about horses, anything else, that was the end. And I was sent to the Air Force Squadron, which was in Sumy. No, it was just training squadron, no planes, no nothing, remember. There are thousands of people going around having barely enough to eat and nothing. So we finished our primary.
Oh, hang on. Mm-hmm. So where were you living? We were very interested in your training.
Now you have to translate, Anna. Царские кадетские училища. Tsar's cadet school, who was ginormous buildings in Sumy. That's where we were stationed.
What was the accommodation like?
Room like that, 20 people, on two levels, on wooden bunk beds. If you are lucky, you will get a straw-filled mattress.
And so this is a barrack room?
Yes.
Not
huts, barrack rooms, barrack.
How did they start your training? You haven't had any military training at all, have you?
At this time, I had AK training, AK training, but they didn't know about it and I didn't tell them.
Now tell me about what training is there.
basic cadet training. It means use of arms, behavior of the field craft, what to say, what not to say to Germans.
Very simple, just basic military.
Absolutely basic military training.
Now, how did they start training you at the training squadron? How did they start?
They start with my Russian was at the time perfect. It was, in many cases, was easier for me to speak Russian than Polish. Well, not yet. Later. They start the training with firearms, Vintovka Musina, Dikterova machine gun, Sevete, Samozaryatna Vintovka Tokarieva, automatic rifle Tokarieva.
The weapons training.
Weapons training.
How did you take that?
I loved it. I know we. PTS protivtankovaya ruzhyo Simonova, anti-tank rifle. I remember that they were old rail carriages, and we painted the buffers, painted white. And I was drilling them at 400 meters, railway buffers from anti-tank rifle, rocket kicks.
And you were a good shot. I mean,
I was a reasonable shot, yes.
Now, so what about drill? How do you take a drill? I presume they trained you in
Air Force drill. You must be joking. That's Army. We were Air Force. Not very little, if any. A little bit theory. Of course, the first thing we had was a politruk.
What?
Politruk. Political rukovoditel. It means. Come on.
Political education.
Political education and the men.
Now tell me about that, because that must have been difficult.
I didn't pay a lot of attention to it anyway. I didn't care a damn. The man who was in charge of political was funny name, Walker, Welker in Polish, Captain Welker. Walker, he was a Jew, Polish Jew, who take part in part in Spanish War, red part of Spanish War. He was our political commander.
What kind of political? I know you didn't care for it, but what were they trying to teach you?
Well, how good the red, red. They started with red constitution. How good, of course, Lenin, Stalin, but that time no word of Trotsky, naturally, of course.
And did you just play lip service to this? I presume you couldn't argue with it.
You did. Why should I argue with it? Why should I? I didn't argue with it. I just didn't pay any attention to it, which was absolutely of no importance to me. Anyway, that lasted only for 3 weeks. We were in Sumy for 3 weeks.
So, but basically, while you were at Sumy, you just did weapons training.
Political education, basic training, which was practically nothing.
You did any DT physical work?
Not much at the time. Anyway, we were
set. No air work. This is ground.
Ground training only.
Did you
not
air theory, or you know.
No air theory, nothing. Nothing in Sumy.
So you were there what, January to February?
About 3 weeks. Three weeks.
So just into February.
End of January. Then we were sent all the squadron, not all, there were more people in the squadron. I remember seven. And don't ask me names. I remember one or two only.
Right.
We were sent to Grigorievskoye. Oh no.
Now, you got to this place for Grigorievskoye,
yeah,
something like that, and I've got the spelling down on the thing. Now, whereabouts in the Soviet Union is that?
That is 60 kilometers southwest of Moscow.
Right, so it's not too far from Moscow. Yeah, it's about
very near Moscow.
Now, what was it there? Was this also, were you still
there
in the train? Is this still a training squadron?
No.
Polish Air Force? What's
no,
this?
There are two wings there. First fighter wing with named Warszawa. Second bomber, night bomber wing named Kraków.
Now, which were you joining?
I was joined to second wing Kraków.
And that's bombers?
Bombers, yes. Second wing, Kraków.
Now, you still couldn't fly. You'd had no flying training whatsoever.
Well, I never been in the plane.
Right.
Up to now.
What happened? So the six or seven of you went to.
All of us attached to second wing, Kraków. And
what happened when you got there?
Wing commander was, there was in 1860-odd, was uprising against Tsar. Quite a lot of Poles were sent to Siberia. Our wing commander was one of them. He came from Siberia and he decided to speak to us in Polish. The problem was, when he talked Russian, there was no problem. I couldn't understand a single word in Polish what he was trying to say. Anyway.
Just the accent, was it? Or was it archaic?
It was archaic peasant Polish from God knows which part of Poland, don't know.
From 80 years ago.
Yes, from 80 years. But he was proud of it that he is a Pole, that he is Polish origin. And